All right, Jason King and Ashley Hodge here for the Sikkim 365 podcast. We're joined today by one of the most popular players that's come through Baylor in a long time, and also one of the most effective players that Baylor has seen in a long time, and that's Mark Vidal, a fan favorite and a favorite of Ashley and I's as well. Mark, thanks for coming on, man. We're talking to you not even 24 hours after, you know, the first loss of the season against Kansas, a tough one. A big storyline to me is, you know, you guys having to play that game in the Iowa State game after basically doing nothing for 3 weeks. How tough is it right now just to go out there and kind of find that chemistry and that energy, I guess, that kind of defines your team for the first part of the season?
Yeah, man. Like, first of all, I want to say thank y'all for having me, man. I do anything for you guys. I love you guys like you love me. And, some of the things that we've realized over the 24 hours is that you really can't control some of the things that was going on, and that you can only control what you can control. So every day we just try to go like 1-0, like Coach say. I know I know y'all hear it all the time, but it's the truth. And coming back from that long period, I want to say it like this, like, I don't want it to be an excuse that we was out for so long.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we still went against Iowa State, and we know that we're capable of doing different things. But at the same time, it's still a groove that we got to get into. Like last night, hats off to Kansas. Like, they did a great job. We didn't look like each other, like ourselves. And I take the blame because I'm the big brother, honestly, because, as you know, I'm that pace card. I'm that player that, you know, supposed to set the tone. So I just take the blame with the rebounding and all the stuff like that, because that's what I do. And when I do it, my little brothers do it. And if I play hard, my little brothers do it. So, you know, that's how I see it like that, you know. And we're going to really get back into a groove. Like, we need it. I'm glad it happened early than in a tournament. Yeah.
What was the mood like in the locker room after the game? I mean, did it affect your swagger at all? Or did it kind of, you know, what did you notice in that locker room afterwards?
One thing I noticed about our locker room is that everybody stayed positive. You know, at the end of the day, you lost the game. We still was pissed. You know, you lost. Everybody's pissed if you're a competitor, right? But everybody was just positive. Like, man, we still can win the conference. We got to get, you know, be mad tonight. Tomorrow, lock in. We're in West Virginia now, so time to lock in for that game, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mark, I want to ask you, I know there's going to be nights where the shots don't fall, but, you know, and obviously it's a different situation coming off this long layoff, but it almost feels like last year we had games like that, but the defense locked down so much that you were able to win these 58-52 games, or these, you know, games where you held Texas in the 40s. I mean, do you feel like there's been, we're just a step below where we need to be defensively, that we're just not communicating, the rotations aren't there? What do you see defensively that we need to improve on?
Right now, I see that we just need to improve back on our rotations. You know what I'm saying? We've been out for a while, and the chemistry, just like on offense, you know, we have chemistry on offense. It's more effective, just the same on defense. So we got to really just get into a game plan where we're back to getting back to like we used to. And Coach Drew, Coach Tane, Coach Jacobs, Coach Brooks, Coach Charlie, like everybody down that line been doing a great job really just trying to get us back into their rotation. You know what I'm saying? So as far as the defense, and I feel like we still got the upper and everything still there. Like, we still play our tails off, but we just got to get back into our rotations and, you know, get back to being us. Because last night, like, hats off to Kansas, but on our end, it wasn't us, you know. So it's just game planning, man. We just got to do better, like getting back into everything on defense, like us.
So, you know, follow-up question to that would be on the rebounding side. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we make our reputation, and you're the biggest reason why. And first of all, congratulations for being the most winning player in history.
Yeah.
A.J. Walton was a favorite of ours, too, and that's a huge honor. So congratulations. But, you know, as far as the rebounding is concerned, do you feel like it was an effort thing? Do you feel like our legs just weren't there, that Kansas just took the fight to us? I mean, why do you think that we were, out rebounding so badly last
year? I'm going to be honest with you, man. They play harder. Right. They called me Dennis Rodman and everything like that. You know, I wasn't doing none of those things like I was supposed to. And like I said, I'm the captain. So when I lead like that, when I'm punching people and they're not punching us, you know, it's a whole different fight. So I just said they play harder than us. And I'm just being honest. Like, hats off to Kansas. They play harder. They game plan. was, okay, we know these guys come off a stretch. We seen a little bit of weakness against Iowa State, so we got to come in and we got to do what we got to do. You know, and I realized that in the game. I knew they came out playing hard. You got to understand that when you come from that break, that team's going to come at you now because, like, they know that you ain't been doing it for a while. So they got to play hard.
Right.
And then they want to upset you bad. So, I mean, they just played harder. And it was off to them. Like, the rebounding and everything wasn't there. Our shots wasn't falling. Some of our free throws weren't falling, including myself. Like, it's a lot of stuff that go into, like, you know, like, it's a lot of stuff that go into. And you just got to get back into having that chemistry and that momentum back. And, I mean, we're going to get it back. Trust me. Yeah. We're going to get that mojo back. Like, this loss right here, it don't affect us as much as a lot of people think it is. So,
yeah,
we're just doing a good job with that. And we all positive with it.
Yeah.
That's good to hear that no one's panicking in that locker room, because, you know, a lot of teams, a great team loses and everyone thinks, oh, my gosh, what's wrong? But as long as you
you can't pay attention to the outside world. Yeah. Like, one thing I realize is if you stay and you pay attention to the outside world, you look at Twitter, you know, they got some kids and a lot of players that like to use Twitter as their outlet, you know, either getting praise or when something go bad, it affect them. Like, what's so good about our team is we so tight in the circle and our coach preach so much that you ain't got to pay attention to us on the social media because they're going to hate you or love you. Fans going to be fans. Yeah. You know, it's a whole bunch that go into it. And if you go and try to focus on that, that really affect a lot of people. And that don't break Baylor. That can't break Baylor. Not right. Social media.
Right. Well, Mark, I know you've told the story a handful of times this year. I wanted to talk about your path to Baylor and what got you there in the first place. You and I have talked about it before, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize that long before you committed to Baylor, you were a YouTube sensation. I mean,
right.
With the way you could dunk and jump over buildings and stuff. I don't know, like at a time. What was that like when you were, what like eighth, ninth grade?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a YouTube celebrity with guys like who were some of the names you were in those videos with?
Terrence Ferguson. I was in videos with De'Aaron Fox. I got so many videos with every player that's in there, Jason Tatum. I mean, I got everybody, Trae Young.
Yeah.
Like, I can go down a list. A lot of guys that was in my class is in the NBA now, you know, and I think me and like a couple other guys are like the last to, you know, get there. But being a YouTube sensation, it was fun at the time. Like, yeah. I'm not even gonna lie, like, I was a YouTube celebrity. Everywhere I went, everybody knew who I was, and it was just fun. Like, I remember one time I signed my first autograph, and the first time I saw the autograph was on a baby's pamper, and I was just so surprised. I'm like, why would I do that? But that's what's part of it. So it was new. I was like a rock star at the time.
The first autograph you signed was on a diaper,
a baby diaper.
Yeah, that's hilarious. You know, and I know that you grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana, kind of a poor neighborhood, and you weren't really too involved. I know you were playing basketball and things like that, but it wasn't until around the eighth or ninth grade when you really started to play for some more like high-level teams where you were kind of getting recognized. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was really, like I said, like I wasn't really into basketball. I was more into boxing and football. Like, I was one of those guys that liked boxing and football as a kid. And I was never into basketball. Then my mom woke me up one morning and was telling me, like, you want to go play basketball, right? And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I was a street ball. Like, you play on the park.
Yeah.
You know, you play in the hood in the park. So you played on that.
Yeah.
And so my mom finally asked me if I wanted to play basketball. I went to try for a team called Lake Charles Stars. And they taught me a lot. And then I moved from that to Southern Elite. And that's when I really started traveling and started seeing the world differently.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I moved to Dallas. Like, it was a whole bunch of stuff to build up to, and I just started taking it serious.
Absolutely. And I know, I mean, it's kind of a legendary story. You committed to Baylor when you were in the ninth grade. Is that right?
Yep.
Jeff Goodman, who's a good friend of ours and who actually runs this whole podcast company that we're working on, you know, I know you shared your story with him about when Coach Drew came on his recruiting visit. What was that like? What happened?
Man, Coach Drew, man, I love Coach Drew to death, man. Like, Coach Drew came into my neighborhood, and I'm in a bad neighborhood. Like, I'm in a neighborhood where it's, you know, murder rates and everything is different, you know? So, Coach Drew came in that was like nothing.
Yeah.
Park his car outside, get out the car. And, like, he wasn't scared of anything. And I was just like, Coach Drew, man, you got to get in the house. Like, you can't be just coming out. Like, he came to my school one day, and I guess him and Coach Tang came, and he came out, I think, in an Escalade, like, you know, blacked out Escalade, something like that. And they had guys asking me, who is that? Like, man, what kind of car is that? This is Coach Drew got out of there. Hey, what's up, big dog? You know, with his energy, man. And I'm like, Coach Drew, man, you can't just be popping up like this. Coach Drew used to have a thing where he just pop up on you. I'm like, Coach, man, you can't just be popping up on me like that, man. Like, right. It was crazy, man. Coach Drew, he got my attention like that. That's how he really got my attention. Yeah. You know, like in some movies, you see like the coaches come and sit on the couch like it was nothing. It was like that, exactly like that.
And you weren't a guy, it really shows how good of recruiters they are to find out about you and scout you out that young, because you really kind of hadn't burst on the scene yet, right, as far as being a big-time guy. As the years progressed, didn't some other big, you know, Kansas schools like that kind of start looking at you, but you held firm?
Yeah, man, like, honestly, bro, like, I don't know how they see it in players. Even with Jared, if Jared was young, they've been on Jared, like, they see some in players that other coaches don't see. When they seen me, I was just a lanky kid that could dunk. Like, I wasn't even like a defensive stopper, like I'm not energy, all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said, like, in interviews, but it's the truth. Like, I'm telling you the truth. Like, I was one of those guys that used to just dunk and just be done with it. And when Coach Drew started, like, giving me these calls and everything, I committed on the spot. And that's how I went from there. Like, I committed on the spot. And next thing you know, before I was a YouTube sensation where – I was on Ballers Life and all that. That just played a part in it. I was already committed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like Kansas and all the other schools start coming along, but I couldn't decommit from Coach Drew, man. He showed me so much love from the beginning.
Right. And I remember you told me you remember him driving you around that Baylor campus on a golf cart, you know, showing you all the
buildings. Driving me everywhere, man. Just telling me, man, that right there is 3 point something, man. Like this drive me around, bro. Like it was crazy, man. Like, I was so surprised because I never seen a scenery like that. I never seen like a big gold tower and none of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a nice campus.
Ashley, I'd let you jump in real quick. One more thing I had. I just think it's a really cool part of your story, Mark, that a lot of people don't know. But, you know, I think your last 2 or 3 years of high school, you know, you moved to Dallas to train with your mentor, a guy I've gotten to know a little bit. His name's Boog. That's what I like to call him. That's how you go by him. We'll just leave it at that. But tell me what life was like for you when you just have to pack up and leave your family, you know, your loved ones. And was it ninth grade or?
My 10th grade, yeah.
My 10th grade year. I mean, just having to do that and make that sacrifice to really focus on basketball and get better. How hard was it? And also, what was life like once you made the move?
So, in the beginning, it was kind of hard. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like, man, I don't want to do it because all my friends and family, I've never been away from my family. So my mom and dad was always big on you make your own decisions. And like me committing to Baylor was my own decision. You know, they was always big on that. Like, you know, some parents being there like, well, you make this decision, you do this, you do that. No, my parents told me to write it out on a piece of paper on what I want to do. And I just mapped out everything. And I knew that if I stayed in Lake Charles, of course I would have been this best player in Lake Charles. But at the same time, it would have been hard for me to get to college because some of the stuff I was doing in Lake Charles wasn't going to meet the standards of me going to college. So when Bud came in, this is your guy and my guy. So when Bud came in and Coach Kyle and Rick Carrigan, like them guys came in, that's when we played for Sutton Elite. And they introduced me to so much. And then me and Bud got so close. And then he said, hey, you come to Dallas and live with me. And we basically can train you. You can see different stuff. You've been in a better position. And, like, ever since then, everything changed, right? Yeah. So when I got out there to Dallas, it was weird.
Yeah.
Because it was so big. Dallas is big. Everywhere you go is 40 minutes to get to.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Charles, I could just walk to the gas station. Like, I don't need to get in a car and go 40 minutes to go somewhere. Yeah. And so that adjustment was kind of hard in the beginning. And, man, that was his first time actually having somebody, you know, to mentor. So it was hard on him, too. We were struggling at first with the trying to figure out the school and the adjustment to the house and everything like that. But we just kept basketball first and just, you know, keep doing different things. But it was kind of hard in the beginning. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, but you're waking up at 6 in the morning, right?
And man, I'm about to tell you, bro, man. Me and him will wake up 5 in the morning, run, jog, do whatever. And then come back, eat, we'll work out again. Like, it was crazy how the schedule was going. Like, this was something so different to me. Like, it was more so set up like a pro schedule. Like, I've never been through that. Like, you know, in Lake Charles, I could just wake up at 10 o'clock, do whatever, you know? Like, it was different, like, in the summer. And then you have school at 7, so I wake up 6, you know, put my clothes on, go to the bus and do whatever. But when I got there to Dallas, 5 o'clock in the morning, then right. school, then practice, then shoot at night. Like, it was crazy. I was like, man, I don't know if I could do this.
And I want to make it clear, too, that for people watching, Mark wasn't at, like, some academy where he was going and eating in the mess hall every day, you know, five-course meals. I mean, this was just a friend, a mentor who didn't have a lot for himself money-wise, just saw something in Mark and said, I'm going to take it upon myself to train this kid. But he was living a rough life, too. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like, it was hard for him to even feed you it.
Man, Boog had, man, one thing about Boog, man, he made so many sacrifices for me to be where I'm at now, because he would go nights without eating to make sure I ate. And it'd be crazy. I remember one time that he couldn't pay the bill, and he told me straight up, like, the lights went out and everything. And he's like, what you want to do? We can go to the hotel, or we can just stay the night here, and then we'll figure it out. I told him, let's just stay at the house. And we stayed at the house, and next thing you know, some way, somehow, he figured it out. Like, he'll drop me off to school. I come back home, the light's on. I'm like, so that's how much of hard work he do, man. Like, he had a rough lifestyle, too. So we both had the same thing in common. And he just did a lot of stuff for me, man. Like, he changed a lot of stuff for me. And really in the position where I'm at now is because of him.
Right. And the good thing, too, is you were training. I mean, he was exposing you to good players. I mean, you're playing against Emmanuel Mudiay and Terrence Ferguson and Billy Preston. And also, Mark, kind of a role model of yours, Andre Emmett, who tragically, you know, lost his life a couple of years ago, or about a year ago. But tell me about your relationship with Andre Emmett, the former Texas star, and playing against him in the gym and stuff.
Man, Andre Emmett, man, like, rest his soul, man. But when I first met him, Boog Roman, that's why I play with Mo Williams Academy. I never met him, right? So I go in the gym, and I just got my first Ballers Life video. I'm feeling myself. I'm getting all the views, all the followers.
Yeah.
And I go up in the gym, and I just see him shooting, right? And, you know, Andre got a guy that just shot looked kind of weird at first. So I'm like, oh, I'm about to ask him to play one-on-one, because I'm already challenging everybody in the gym every day. And I get in the gym, and I guard this dude. When I say he don't miss, I was so mad, I took off my shoes and I was crying. Like, he really, like, tore a hole and, like, he tore me up. And so ever since then, he used to always tell me, like, do what you got to do, because I've been there. You want to be, I've been there. I know what you need to do. He said, you don't need to. He really started to roll in a way, too. He was like, you don't need to be this guy to go up in there and do this. I can tell you what you need to do. You need to go up there. You need to play hard, play defense, get your little dunks, do whatever you need to do and have a successful career. If you want to go out here and be a guy that's just going to try to do 30, 40 points and, you know, think that that's an NBA thing, like, it's not going to work, because at the end of the day, the next level, 30, 40 points is really nothing compared to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of roles that you got to do. And me and him just had a great relationship. And ever since then, like, you know, that dude is a bucket. Don't miss a bucket. Like, he don't miss. And ever since then, I said, man, that's the best player I ever played against. I don't care.
Ashley, why don't you jump in and talk to Mark a little bit about his, you know, once he arrives at Baylor and just that whole transition from you know, high school to college.
Yeah, that was the first question I was going to ask you. Is we interviewed Terrence Thomas, and he made some comments. I know you saw him because you commented on him on Twitter. And he said, man, Mark's one of my favorite guys. But I got to be honest, when I first saw him, he was cocky. And I just had to take him down a level.
That's not true.
Tell us that story.
Now I'm going to tell you the story, man. So I came in the gym. Terrence, I already know the background on you. He got his backstory on you, who he is already, right? So it's OG. I'm going to correct it, because I know he's going to text me after this if I don't call him OG. That's what he first told me to call him when I got here. So he said, call me OG. And he liked to talk. Like, he was one of those guys going to court. You know, he kind of, you know, he don't be moving like that, doing everything. But he used to talk a lot. And I used to be like, man, stop talking to me. Like, I don't even know who you are, this and this and this. And when I say that, he, like, look up. And when I look up, he'd be right there on the bench. And they used to make me so mad. And then it used to crush me every time, because I used to check him. And he would give me buckets some day, bro. He would give me buckets sometime. And I used to be so mad. And then one day me and him got into it so bad that I was waiting outside to fight him. I was that mad. I was like, you got to come outside. And ever since then, me and him have the understanding. Like, he really, like, you know, taught me a lot of stuff, too. And he used to tell me about the rebound and stuff, too. So he seemed potential to me when I first got in. But I was never a cocky player. Never. Right. Never. That's his excuse to talk trash to me.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this question. I know you're going to shoot straight with me, but I see like people kind of, you know, saying, is he too heavy? You know, is he 250 pounds this year? Right. Do you want to set the record straight on that? Like,
yeah, I'll set it straight, man. Look, it is like a lot of people keep commenting on my weight and asking me if I'm heavy and I'm just in this. No, I'm not heavy. It's just that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a routine that I normally go through during the summer that I couldn't really do. I'm not using this as an excuse.
Right.
It's a routine I normally do that builds up to my season.
Sure.
I didn't have a chance to really do that in the off season.
Right.
And so I'm still in a way getting the rhythm, but I got to get in my rhythm fast. And like, yeah, I'm going to say it like this. I might look like I put on a few pounds. I'm going to say it like that. Some right. people think that, yeah, I put on a couple pounds, but I ain't put on like 280 or 270. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not nothing crazy like that. You know, it's a lot of stuff that I used to do that build up to my season I didn't do. And that's what it is. You still see me can jump out the gym. You still see me play hard. You still play me defense.
Yeah.
So I'm still here.
Yeah.
It's just that I need to get in better shape and everything. It's the truth.
All right. I got one more question for you. Then I'm going to let Jason close this. You mentioned boxing as a passion of yours. And I know other people have asked you who your favorite boxer is. I'm not going to do that. But give me two or three boxing movies that you really struck a chord with you.
Hurricane, Ali. And the story of Roy Jones Jr.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this Mike Tyson movie is coming out with Jamie Foxx. So, you know, I'm watching that.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, one thing that I always just like is to follow players through their career and see how they mature as people off the court. And I think you've done that more than anyone I've seen at Baylor in a long time. It was a story you told me, you know, when you first got to Waco as a 18, 19 year old kid, whatever you were, you didn't really like, you were very guarded and closed off. You even called yourself a mute at one point because you just wouldn't open up to people. Kind of describe what that time was like for you and how you eventually got out of it.
Yeah, like the way it was for me when I first got to Baylor, it wasn't like – it was just me trying to really get to know people. And when I really don't get to know people, I'm just quiet. You know, I'm a mute until I really understand you. I'm more observant. Like I like to observe people a lot. And so when I got here, I was always taught, like, don't talk to strangers and everything like that. That's my teammates, and I wouldn't even stand up. And I used to be just quiet, man. I used to be a mute. I didn't want to be bothered. I just want to be in my own world. You know, like I said, when Tall T got into it, I was like, I hope this is not how this is about to be my whole career. And then ever since that, I used to just be a mute, and I used to never say anything. I used to just play.
Yeah, but you told me, too, that, like, you just hadn't had a lot of social interaction with people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kids would come up to you at Whataburger or something and try to tell you, you know, how much they liked you or asked for an autograph, and you kind of had a hard time conversing with them, right?
Not because
you're rude. It's just you weren't used to that.
Right. Like, even when high school, like I said, I signed some autographs, but at the same time, I wasn't used to, like, I'm a kid that's coming from a situation where we never done that. Like, I'm going to keep it real, like, people wanted to see you fail. So to see people actually want you to succeed and be happy for you, at the time, I was just, it just felt weird, you know? You had a certain amount of people, like your family and everybody wants you to succeed, of course, but like, you had a lot of people around you that wanted you to fail. So when I used to see people asking me for autographs and people used to say, congratulations, I'm happy for you, I used to think it was kind of shady at first. I was just like, you know, like, all right, cool. Like, they really want something. Like, you always think like, oh, they want something, which they really don't, but I used to be very closed off. Like, that's just how it was. And when I used to ask for autographs, I just found it weird. I was like, I'm good, man. Like, I don't want to, you know, do anything crazy.
But now here you are, you know, 4+ years later, and I feel like you're just have one of the best personalities on the team. You were baptized last year in a really cool moment. What kind of, I mean, just kind of, describe, I guess, the growth you've gone through and what this Baylor experience has done for you as a person.
Right. And y'all see a lot. I talk about mental health. I found out that a lot of things I felt like I was doing was dealing with mental health. And when I finally got the help that I needed with, you know, Monique and counseling and everything and talking to people and letting them know this is why I do certain things, and they start breaking it down to me, that would really help. You know what I'm saying? And then as the years got on, I just started blossoming, and I'm just becoming the person y'all see I am now, because I was never, you always got to be a tough guy while I was there. Like, you always have to be a tough guy to survive in survival mode. That's what Coach Brooks always tell me. Like, you don't always have to be in survival mode. Like, some days you can just be you. And it took me a while to really understand that. And when I broke that cycle, I'm just a happy person. Like, I'm enjoying life, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Put God in my life, it was over with.
Yeah. No, it's obvious. You just really radiate, you know, positivity. And I know we're low on time. I did want to ask you, though, about you love being the villain. You've talked about how you love being the guy that gets under people's skin, and you've even nicknamed yourself the Joker. Is that, I don't know if you're still going by that, but where did you kind of develop that mentality? Like, I'm going to be the, instead of the guy that goes and scores 40 a game, I'm going to be the guy that just does a little bit of everything and just pesters the heck out of everyone.
When I started seeing a lot of the stuff that I was doing really didn't translate like I wanted to. So I know I can play hard. I know I can play defense. That's all effort. And I know I'm a goon. That's what Coach Tang called me. So I know I'm all that. So why not be a guy that caused wreck to everybody else? And the villain actually came from my GA's name, from Peyton, Chris, and who I'm missing, Rim. Mm-hmm. And those guys actually was telling me, like, you a villain because everybody that you play, they get mad at you and, like, they hate you. Like, everybody, even the crowd hates you. So you got to be this persona where you just angry person all the time. And I like it. And that's why I came up with it. And then the Joker, you know, I'm a DC fan and I love the Joker. So that's, I just named myself the Joker from that.
Right.
Because the Joker's funny and he just, everything he does is just crazy.
And last thing, explain to our viewers what the nickname Mr. 95 means, even though.
Yeah, so Coach Pete actually gave me that name, man. He gave me Mr. 95. And that's something that I do everything that people don't want to do. So that means I rebound. I got to rebound every night, get steals. I got to play defense. I got to give water to guys, towels, whatever. Anything everybody don't want to do, I'm doing it. And that's me. Besides, if you want me to score 19, I'll go score 19. But everything else is the dirty work. Like right. Dennis Rodman. Like, and he's been called Mr. 95 under Coach Pete, too. Because yeah. Everything he did was just dirty work. And I don't know why I'm doing that. And, like, a lot of people say that, well, you're not going to get paid for doing things like that. Like, I always tell other players, and I try to tell every player around the nation, that you can do that. Like, you're capable of being a Mr. 95 and get paid for doing what you do. Like, you don't have to go out there and score 20 points every game because that's not going to – the NBA don't need that. Overseas don't need that. G League don't need to score 20 every game. Like, just be you. Like, I feel like a lot of people get to college and try to do something that they're not good at.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, I'm the greatest shooter in the world. I got Jared Butler, Allen Flagger. I got so many Macy O.T. That's shooters. So while I'm shooting the ball, got to go crazy, you know?
Yeah. It's cool to see you really – I just feel like you're really having fun and you're really embracing – all of this. It's funny, you're playing West Virginia tomorrow, and I can remember last year you guys got beat there, but you played your butt off in that game. And I can remember you even kind of getting into it with the crowd. They were booing you, and you were like, bring it.
Oh, that was, that's the only game I ever felt like there was a Dennis Rodman game because I had people cussing at me. I had them calling me different names. It was so bad, and it was just getting me feeling. Bob Huggins, man, I love Bob Huggins too.
Yeah.
Just laughed the whole game at me. And he told me, he said, man, you're one of my favorite players. Like, you know, like, you, everything that everybody want on their team. Like, everybody want to mark right on their team.
Yeah. Well, that's the ultimate compliment. I mean, coaches have said you're their favorite player. Fans have said it, too. And media guys, too. So, Mark, thanks for all you've done so far, man. And I appreciate you joining us. I know you got to go get ready for that game tomorrow. So, let's sign off. Anything you want to say to Baylor fans as we're going?
Hey, man, like I said, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. And Mental Health Awareness Month, please check on y'all people and, you know, tell everybody to get help. And everybody should be happy. You ain't got to hide. Talk to somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. For Ashley Hodge, I'm Jason King for Sikkim 365 and Field of 68. Sikkim.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.